Big Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
I've been reading two pieces by authors I respect, and it's hard to believe that the two authors are describing the same world. One says the world needs to mobilize on an unprecedented scale to save civilization. The other focuses on the U.S. and is confident that the current downturn is only temporary. Who's right? James Fallows writes in the January-February issue of The Atlantic that he's been, as he puts it, quote, asking experts around the country whether America is finally going to hell, unquote. Fallows remembers the U.S. being counted as in decline for all his life, since the Soviet Union beat the U.S. in launching the first artificial satellite, Sputnik. In fact, he says, quote, pick a year over the past half century, and I will supply an indicator of what, at the time, seemed a major turning point for the worse. The first oil shocks and gas station lines in peacetime history. The first presidential resignation ever. Assassinations and riots. Failing schools. Failing industries. Polarized politics. Vulgarized culture. Polluted air and water. Divisive and inconclusive wars. It all seemed so terrible during a period defined, in retrospect, as a time of unquestioned American strength. Unquote. A sense of decline has been part of the North American experience from the beginning of colonial times, argues Fallows. He says Sacvan Berkovich's book, The American Jeremiad, traces this narrative all the way to the beginning of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. Quote, indeed, only 6 years after the Arbella brought John Winthrop to Massachusetts, a Congregationalist minister was lamenting the lost golden age of the colony, asking parishioners, are all God's kindnesses forgotten? All your promises forgotten? Unquote. Fallows concludes, well, I'm puzzled about what he concludes. U.S. society is strong and resilient, he says, but the political system is broken and keeps us from tackling our largest problems. Yet without a functioning public sector, the rest of society, he says, can only decline. And the political system's flaws are uncorrectable, quote unquote. But we should carry on and work for the best. Confused? Me too. Lester Brown tackles the question of decline too in his book Plan B. The world is changing so fast that each edition is named in its title. The latest is Plan B 4.0. Brown looks at worldwide trends and everywhere sees signs that civilization has overdrawn its account of the natural resources needed to sustain life. Grain harvests have become chronically short, even though they're boosted by unprecedented irrigation. The aquifers tapped for irrigation are drying up. Where rivers are flowing strongly to provide irrigation, it's often because mountain glaciers are melting. When the glaciers are gone, rivers will slow to a trickle during the dry season. Oil supplies are reaching their limits, as the number of cars in the world approaches 1 billion, and grain is being diverted from food to ethanol fuel. This, and much more, all while climate chaos threatens low-lying areas with flooding and much of the rest of the world with violent storms or drought or both. Overuse of natural resources has palpable consequences. In 2009, Brown points out, the number of hungry people reached over 1 billion. Farmers in India are committing suicide as their wells run dry and they can no longer produce food. The war between herders and farmers competing for the same land in the Darfur region of Sudan has claimed over 300,000 lives. Lester Brown still has hope in the face of this difficult news, but it involves an unprecedented repurposing of industrial resources on a global scale, similar to when the U.S. during World War II used a pinball machine factory to produce armor-piercing shells, retooled a merry-go-round factory to make gun mounts, and stopped producing new cars so that the auto factories could produce machine guns, aircraft, ships, and other materiel. What's needed now, Brown says, is a political will to do the same worldwide, and this time put in a strong rail system, energy efficiency, solar electricity, solar hot water, wind turbines, to control population by closing what he calls the condom gap, and making education available, and many other measures. The Atlantic's James Fallows barely mentions climate change, food scarcity, water shortages, or ever-growing population. It's as if he doesn't realize that civilization rests on a material base of natural resources. Where Fallows and Brown agree is their bafflement about how to get the political system to tackle the hard questions the U.S. and the world are facing. Maybe Brown is right to answer that question the way Paul Hawken did in a commencement address last year. First, we need to decide what needs to be done. Then we do it. And then we ask if it is possible. I'm Carl Ettenayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.